A fake political announcement.
I'm State Senator Bo Plath, and I approve this message.
The preceding message was paid for by the Bo Plath for State Senate Committee.
I didn't approve that.
Huh?
I did not approve that message.
Well, I thought you did.
Well, I didn't, and you know it. Now play the one I approved.
Okay.
I'm Bo Plath, and I approved that message.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Yeehaw! Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's loving time.
Rolling?
Yes, sir, we are rolling. Anytime you would like to speak, you can go now.
Okay, usually people say action or rolling or you're on.
Or take one.
But it's more fun to guess, I guess, with you.
Pat, are you there?
Yes. All right, I want to begin this podcast with something I don't think I've ever done before, Lisa.
Really?
And that is a correction, if not an apology. Yes.
Wait.
You know, you think I'm a bulletproof and always right and never make an error and don't goof up, but I did.
I think that?
I think the world thinks that. And on our last podcast, I talked about how I grew up listening to my parents' music, and in particular, a guy named Whistlin' Jack Smith.
Yeah.
Thinking that was a guy that, you know, maybe was popular in the 50s, maybe even the 40s when my parents were young.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, I committed a major boner. And it's my fault. I got it not quite right. It turns out that Whistlin' Jack Smith, and here you can hear one of his songs right here, was a pseudonym, actually, not a real guy. His name was John O'Neill. And he never even got credited on the song because they used a fake name, Whistlin' Jack Smith. It turns out that Whistlin' Jack Smith was a satire of sorts on an original name from the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, a man named Whisperin' Jack Smith.
Huh.
Yeah. So Whistlin' Jack Smith that you're hearing here was a different guy. It was popular in the late 60s. And
that's the mistake you made?
Well, yeah, because I mischaracterized Whistlin' Jack Smith.
Yeah.
And it was what I'm saying is Whistlin' Jack Smith was a fake name. It's a pseudonym. It wasn't a real. The real person was a guy named John O'Neill. Didn't get credit for the song. And he was a singer. He was a decent singer. Later in his career, he performed music of the TV show Wagon Train. Here's a little of that. So I blew it.
Pat, I think I can safely speak for the entire world when I say that we don't care that you made a mistake on this.
I just want this to be regarded as the most honest, the most accountable podcast there is. And it turns out that Whisperin' Jack Smith, the guy that I mentioned, he was called Whisperin' Jack Smith because during World War I, he was a singer. But during World War One, he sucked up a bunch of mustard gas, which is a horrible, noxious gas they used during that war. And he lost his ability to sing at full volume. So he sang at a lower volume, almost a whisper, some people said. And that's how he got his name, Whispering Jack Smith. Here was his big hit before they ever had hits. And the song itself was called Whispering. Check it out.
Honey, I have something to tell you, and it's worthwhile listening to. Put your little head on my shoulder so that I can whisper to you.
Okay, Whispering Jack Smith, different person than the fake Whistling Jack Smith. Oh, I'm so glad to get that off my chest.
Huh. What else have you lied about?
Well,
we might as well take this opportunity.
Yeah.
Since
that would have to be a whole series of podcasts, and we don't have time for that.
Okay, so that's totally fine.
Okay, let's move on. And then I got a lot of different things I wanted to talk to you about, but you know what we always do at the top of the show. I'm going to be quick about it.
All right.
Is my new vow. We lost a couple of singers. Jimmy Cliff, reggae singer, died at the age of 81. He won a couple of Grammys. This was a song called You Can Get It If You Really Want.
You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try, try and try, try and try.
And this one, The Harder They Come.
I'm gonna get my sugar, what's mine. And then the harder they come, the harder they fall, one and all.
Jimmy Cliff, he grew up in Jamaica. He was a choir boy. He was very big into social justice. That's what a lot of his songs were about. And he was the star of a 1972 movie called The Harder They Come. And in that movie, Vietnam was one of his songs. And Bob Dylan said that's one of the greatest protest songs ever. Cliff carved the path for Bob Marley and a lot of other reggae singers. Jimmy said, I don't want to be known as the king of reggae. I want to be known as the king of music. And here was his first hit way back in 1962, Hurricane Hattie.
But we're over there, my lovely, I'm coming over.
Jimmy Cliff, 81. All right, and then Todd Snyder. Do you ever hear of Todd Snyder?
No.
Yeah, well, too bad. Few people did, but he was very popular among certain groups. 59 years old is all he was. He wrote a lot of ballads about heartache and disappointment, but he also was very funny, so he had a lot of humor in his songs, and he called himself the Nashville anti-hero. One of his lyrics went,
conservative Christian, right-wing Republican, straight white American male, gay-bashing, black-fearing, war-fighting, tree-killing, regional leaders of sale, a shirt-tucking frat house and cake-tapping, back-slapping hater of hippies like me, tree-hugging, peace-loving, pot-smoking, porn-watching, lazy-ass hippies like me.
I like him already.
Todd Snyder, check him out.
Tree hugging, peace loving, barefoot and folk singing, lazy old hippies like me.
And then, not a singer, but a Black Power advocate, a big name in his day, but almost forgotten by now, H. Rapp Brown passed away, 82 years old. He changed his name years ago to Jameel Abdullah Al-Amin, and he called for armed resistance to white oppression. He was convicted of murder 25 years ago, ironically, after he had calmed down and become kind of a low-key, peace-loving Muslim, but he was convicted of murder, and he died just the other day in prison. He was in there 25 years. He was supposed to be there for life, and I guess he was.
Yeah.
Lyndon Johnson, he can always raise an argument about law and order because he never talks about justice, but black people fall for that same argument, and they go around talking about lawbreakers. We did not make the laws in this country. We are neither morally nor legally confined to those laws.
His rhetoric led to a 1968 passage of a law which says, quote, it's illegal to incite, organize, promote, or encourage a riot.
Huh.
Know anybody that might have done that on January 6th a few years ago?
Is it now?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. H. Rapp Brown. Then
Alice and Ellen Kessler.
Tall and ten.
They were twins, singers of the 60s. They both died at the age of 89.
I saw that in the news last week.
Yeah.
But I didn't. They what, croaked together, or did they commit
yep.
suicide together?
Yeah, they committed suicide together.
Ugh.
They were twins from Germany, and they would appear in the U.S. on things like The Ed Sullivan Show. Here they are. But in Italy, in 1961, they became the very first females. Are you sitting down, Lisa? The very first females, at least in Italy, to show their legs on camera.
What?
Yes. They were tawdry types. Neither of them ever married. They had a lot of boyfriends. But they just... Yeah.
Right on, girls. Go, girls.
My best
the way
friend
to do
is
it,
my
girls.
Sister. Yeah,
that's the way to do it.
That's what they did. And my final one is Bert Meyer, 99 years old. Not a singer, not a dancer. Bert Meyer collaborated on designs of toys. Mousetrap. I don't know if you know that game.
I love that game. I wish I had that game.
Me too.
Mousetrap, the wildest, funniest game you've ever seen.
Mr. Machine was another one.
Here he comes. Greatest toy you've ever seen, and his name is Mr. Machine.
But his most famous was one called Light Bright.
Light Bright, the toy that lets you create beautiful pictures with light.
I loved my Light Bright.
Oh, you
have one. I actually have a picture of me with my Light Bright somewhere when I was a kid. My
I'll be danged.
Picture of me.
Well,
I'll see if I can find it.
But my favorite, this is a boy's toy, was the Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
And Blue Garment Black is knocked off.
His block is knocked off?
Sure, but you can press it right back on again. It's just part of the action with the world's only boxing robots, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Marks.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Well, you know
I'm not
those
surprised
are, right?
that you like the Rock'em Sock'em Robots because, you know, I'm going to knock your block off.
Yeah.
Well, it's see, a very that... violent toy.
The Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Marx.
The Communist Manifesto
by Marx.
There you have it.
I got to tell you something I did the other night at a restaurant, which I hadn't done since
you
high
ditched,
school.
You dined and ditched.
Nope. I did not do that.
Good.
I've never done that. But I did this thing where they did not have a table ready. And I was there with my wife and another person, the waitress, front desk, or whatever you call it.
The hostess. The concierge. That's called a hostess, Pat.
The host. Thank you. Thank you, the hostess. I'm such a twinkie. I should have known to a hostess. Well, she said, how many are in your party and what's the name? And I said, it is Stoojez, S-T-U-J-E-Z, Stoojez. She said, okay, thank you. So when the table was finally called, Stoojez, party of three, Stoojez, party of three. My wife was not happy.
Really? I thought she would find that hilarious.
Yeah, I used to do it in high school. We would do, you know, my friends like Musketeers, family of three, you know, Amigos, family of three, Pigs, family of three. And then we do Fantastics, party of four, Marx Brothers, you know, Jackson, party of five, Chicago, party of seven, and so on. But I always liked Stooge, but I liked spelling out the name so she wouldn't catch on.
Oh, Pat.
On the radio, back in the day, when I was a disc jockey, you know, in small town radio stations, before you and I hooked up and became talk show hosts, we still played a lot of music all the time. And with the collaboration of our dear friend Dustin Hornby, I said, Dustin, I want you to come up with a compendium of songs that have a pause in the middle of them. Or a break. And he said, Night Moves, When a Man Loves a Woman, Flowers on the Wall, Long Train Running, Time of the Season, Roxanne. I said, stop. That's perfect. And so, because when he said Flowers on the Wall, that reminded me that I used to do this song and people would call up the station and say, that scared me. Stop doing that. That scared me.
What scared them?
When I play Flowers on the Wall, I would elongate the pause. And then when they jump back into the song, it's just really a pop. And people got scared.
They didn't know when it was going to happen.
Right. And then the way that the Statler brothers, who were the artists, sang the song, they kind of chirped it out in a way that made it even more frightening because you didn't know when it was going to come. So here's the original.
Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain. Last night I dressed in tails.
Okay, then here's me pausing that pause to even a longer pause so you don't know when it's coming on the radio. Here it is.
Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. It's good to see you.
People said they got scared. I'm anticipating this, and I don't know when it's coming. And when it finally does, you terrify me.
It's the musical version of Hot Potato. Also the musical version of Musical Chairs. You just don't know. There's a high level of anxiety on when it's going to drop. When's it going to drop? So,
anticipation.
Yeah, that was mean of you.
It's just terrifying.
That was just mean of you.
Well, I know, but once, you know, I'm like Trump. Once you get going, you can't stop being mean. You just can't stop.
Don't tell me I've nothing to do.
Here's a couple other examples. Tommy James and the Shondells, Crimson and Clover. Love doing that one. James Taylor, How Sweet It Is.
Thank you, baby. I just want to stop. Thank you, baby.
And I'll just do one more for now. Roxanne, The Police.
Roxanne.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? And you can make them you can make the pause as long as you want. It pleased me to do it, but it pissed off the program directors at the radio stations. It said, don't do that anymore. First of all, you don't have the right to do that to the artist. And second of all, you're scaring some of our listeners. And it's dead air. There's silence. We can't have silence on the radio. What if somebody is tuning in right at the moment you've made that pause and they think, oh, this station must be off the air right now?
Yeah, there were two major problems with radio. One was dead air and the other was swearing. You could do pretty much anything else, but if either of those two, or heaven forbid, both of them came up, that was
cardinal
death.
Sins.
That was the, yeah. death to the talent, death to the station. Yeah. So
one program director said to me, you stop screwing around just when a man loves a woman. And I said, you mean like this? Now, he's right. The program director was right. I had no right to do that. This song, people are listening to it. Maybe they're even singing along with it. And I screw it up by this long
delay.
Yeah,
there's something that you find, I don't know, rewarding in other people's discomfort.
Yes.
And that should be looked at carefully by not one doctor, but a team of them.
Oh, my God. You know what? You are absolutely right. One more. Time of the season.
I love that song. I love that
song. The Zombies.
So
oh,
good.
Yeah. Love that.
So good.
It's the time of the season for love.
No, I just, no.
You love it with the longer pause?
Every time it comes on, I have it on my playlist. And every time it comes on the playlist, I think of you and your stupid brothers.
Where we would be drinking milk to the song. We'd all get our glasses set up, and then we would do this to the song.
It's so stupid.
You would never mistake a gathering of my brothers with a meeting of the Menzes.
Oh my God.
That's for sure.
I know.
But if
funny.
It makes us laugh, then that was worth doing. Did I ever tell you about the time? This is a wild switch of topics here, but a guy called me up and said, hey, they're looking for an MC for a gathering. Do you know what Bastyr University is?
They're here in the Seattle area, and they're very smart.
Yes.
That's all I know about them. Wait, aren't they nature-based or something? Science-y, nature-y? Okay.
Exactly. They're into natural health and things that were a little Byzantine for me, but I said, I'll be glad to MC. And at one point, I have to introduce this fellow who apparently was on the faculty there. Everybody knew him, loved him. This is a fundraiser for Bastyr. And so the guy comes up and said, I'll make up a name. Would you welcome Dr. Marvin Seuss? And he goes up, yes, Dr. Seuss. He goes up to the microphone. And I noticed this before I began the presentation. There was a small-sized gong sitting on the table next to the
podium.
A
gong? Like the gong show where they had a gong and a bonger? A gong bonger?
Yeah. Now, this one wasn't big. It was, I don't know, maybe the size of a small pizza. You know, it was hanging there. So he goes up and he makes his remarks. And then he says to the audience, all right, everybody, you know how this works. I will strike the gong and we will all pause and meditate for a moment. And so he hits this gong. And the whole room goes very quiet. They are all quite contemplative. And he says, thank you. And he walks and goes back to his seat.
So I
come up.
I don't even want to know what you did. Pat, what did you do?
It wasn't that big a thing, but I just said, wow, that was great. I didn't realize there was going to be live music during this show.
That's very funny.
I thought it was.
That's very funny. Uh-oh, what are you saying? They did not.
Oh, man. They were not. Nobody laughed or even chuckled.
Pat, you know, if I'd been there, I would have been guffawing like crazy in the back.
I know. That's why you wouldn't be a member of that that group.
Yeah, well, they can go.
This was like doing a curse word in the middle of mass. Oh. I mean, they were not happy. Needless to say, I was never asked back. Okay, now I'm going to get into something that I kind of bumped into on YouTube.
I got to tell you, before you get going on that,
yeah,
that
do you know what it is?
My day. if you're talking about the thing you sent to me.
Yes, that
is what
I'm
talking my
about.
God. I had no idea. I just, it was like a little gift you sent me in my email box. And I'm like, I'm obsessed with it. So do go on, sir. I just wanted to let you know how much you made my day with that.
I don't know if in this day and age there are songs that are banned, just outright banned. I know there are radio stations that say, I'm not playing that. Or, you know, you always see these things, explicit lyrics, and they will, you know, boop a lot of things in the song, or they won't play it at all. I'm talking mainly in the rap genre nowadays. But in the 1940s or even earlier, there were songs that were outright banned. They were illegal. You couldn't play them on the radio. You shouldn't even put them on a record. They were just too suggestive, and not always suggestive songs. I mean, I know you've looked up some examples of songs that
I did a whole, you made me think about what songs got banned and for what reasons, and some of these surprise me, but do go on with yours. I'll share with you what I found, and I'm like, really? They banned this one?
If you don't mind, I'd like you to go first, because mine are more outrageous than I think some of yours
will be.
Well,
the first one that really surprised me was Donna Summer's Love to Love You Baby.
That was banned, or at least
banned due to its sexually suggestive content. And I just looked up the lyrics. You know what the lyrics are? I love to love you, baby. I love to love you, baby. I love to love you, baby. I love to love you. On and on. And then there's a couple of places where it says, when you're laying so close to me. There's no place I'd rather be. Blah, blah, blah. I love to love you, baby. And then maybe this is what they had a litter of kittens about, because it says, do it to me again and again.
Okay, maybe.
I think, really? They banned it. But, gee.
But compare that to these titles from the 1940s.
Okay.
I have a guy who will go down south.
Oh. Wait.
Boogie Woogie Booty Call. And a title that was called She Gave Me VD.
Oh. I love these.
And then the artists would be names like Phil McCracken, Connie Lingus.
Oh, God.
And Amanda Lick.
Oh,
and I'm not making any of those up.
Oh, my God.
What are some other ones that you found?
I found a couple. These make sense. These are more socially and politically insensitive in ways. But I don't think, I don't know. I don't even get me started on the whole freedom of speech thing. But Strange Fruit by Billie Holiday.
Yeah,
which is a very haunting
which
song.
Had to do with lynching.
Yeah.
Southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. And bitter
This one I didn't know about. Loretta Lynn had a song called The Pill, which was banned by a lot of country music stations for being, obviously, a song about
birth control.
Birth control, correct, yeah.
You wine me and dine me when I was your girl. Promised if I'd be your wife, you'd show me the world. But all I've seen of this old world is a bed and a doctor bill. I'm tearing down your brooder house, 'cause now I've got the pill.
Wow. the George Michael, I Want Your Sex. Very hot song. And then Shirley Bassey, do you remember her?
Yeah, sure. She sang Goldfinger.
And she sang Burn My Candle. That's something else she sang. And the BBC said, yeah, you got the word sex in there. We can't have that, band.
Who has a nurse to turn the handle? Open my door and spawn the scandal. Who wants to help me burn my candle?
And then the other one I think is interesting is I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus by Little
right.
Jimmy
Boy. I've always thought about that one too, yeah.
And it was banned for suggesting that a parent was involved with another person.
That's so stupid.
But I don't know that they know that Santa Claus isn't real.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night.
Okay, well now listen to this.
Oh wait, I have one more. You know, everybody knows Louie Louie by the Kingsmen was banned
right,
as well
right.
too. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go!
But this one takes the cake. The one you sent me was,
yeah,
by far.
And
the
I've debated whether we play it on the podcast. We'll just give people a parental warning, and then you can decide whether you want to hear it or not.
I don't know that there's a lot of kids listening to us, Pat.
Oh, yeah. It's mostly kids.
I did
a little research.
I didn't know that.
There was a song called Reefer Song by Fats Waller. He's talking about, you know, weed. So that
marijuana cigarettes.
Yeah,
this
marijuana
one.
Cigarettes.
I dreamed about a reefer 5 feet long. A mighty mess, but not too strong. You'll be high, but not for long. If you're a viper.
And then a song by what was their name? The Andrews Sisters, Rum and Coca-Cola.
If you ever go down Trinidad, they make you feel so very glad. Calypso sing and make up rhyme, guarantee you one real good fine time drinking rum and Coca-Cola.
Now, why do you think that one was banned?
Because you can't have a product name in the...
Good. God, you're smart. Yeah. It mentioned a product name by name.
Yeah.
But it also hinted at women prostituting themselves to American servicemen in Trinidad.
Come to Trinidad. They got the young girls all going mad.
Huh.
Working for the Yankee Dollar.
Louis Prima had a song called Please No Squeeza the Banana.
Riley the cop would always stop on the corner at Tony's fruit stand. He'd help himself to anything on which he could lay his hand. Riley did this quite often. Plenty of fruit he would soften. Till Tony got sore and inwardly swore, then he began to shout,
"Hey, please,
no squeeze of the banana. Because when you do that, then you make a flat.
Hey, please,
no squeeze of the banana. When you squeeze of the plum, you put him on the bum. You touch of this, you touch of that, you touch of everything. You push of this, you push of that, you never buy nothing.
So please,
no squeeze of the banana. If you squeeze the officer, please, a squeeze of the coconut.
Well, that sounds like he would want the banana to be a squeezed. Why would he say please and don't squeeze it?
I don't know. Maybe because it rhymes.
Most men never utter that phrase.
Yeah, the most interesting songs that are banned or threatened to be banned are almost always about sexual suggestiveness.
Of course.
This woman's name is Anita Hardcock. Undoubtedly,
can you just stop there?
Undoubtedly a real name. Yeah. And her song was I Have Too Many Men.
I was never a woman who could settle for just one man. In fact, I try to get as many guys as I can. I'm not picky, so I don't turn any away. That's why I'm on my back all night and day. I've got too many men, and it's become a full-time job.
There was a guy named Buck Naked. Whose song was called I'm Free Ballin'.
Wait, can you stop? You're going way too fast. I have thoughts on all of these. How did Buck spell his last name? N-E-K-I-D?
N-E-K-I-D, yes.
Okay.
Buck.
When I'm with the fellers out on the range, some of them look at me kind of strange. Others look away, but I laugh and grin, 'cause I'm not gonna fence these big balls in. I'm free balling wherever I go.
But then it seems to me, then this again is in the 1940s, seems to me there's a particular woman that stood out among everybody else that was getting their songs banned. And, yeah. You know, any artist, Rolling Stones, Beatles even, I suppose, they might have one or two songs in their canon that people say, I don't know. I don't think you should do that one.
Yeah. But
this woman, every one of her songs was nasty. Every one of them. And she's a gorgeous woman.
Oh, my God. She's beautiful. I'll put her picture on our little podcast thing. She's very fetching.
Her name? Wilma Fingerdew. One of her songs was called I'm Always Down on My Knees. Some of the other songs are
And it ain't for praying, baby.
Some of the other songs in her canon are I can't even just the title alone it probably offends.
Well, do what you do so well and clean it up in your own special way. So
well, I decided I won't even read some of the other lyrics or titles because this one stands out above them all. Wilma Fingerdew. And I'm going to play you just a bit of it right now. It is called Shave It Clean.
It's hard to get a guy to please a woman these days. They always make excuses when it's their turn to play. Don't want him getting lost when he goes down there. That's why I make sure I shave my pubic hair. I shave it clean.
Shave it clean.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
What I mean.
No two ways about it, or even in between. If you want a man to go down there, you better shave it clean.
It's just too much.
It's too much.
Not enough. It's too much and not enough at the same time.
We are such a silly species that we decide we have to ban things or we have to censor things. We have to protect people from hearing things.
Yet
we have this First Amendment thing at the same time.
Yeah.
There's some shaky. Opinions about the First Amendment. The most famous one is it's not okay to yell fire in a crowded theater. And I get that. But why does...
You better shave it clean.
Why does shave it clean have to be banned?
Well, I think you know.
I guess I do know. Anyway, I wanted to play you some of that stuff.
It's hard enough to keep men under control. You guys don't know how to stay under control. I mean, we release a song like that and all hell's going to break loose.
That's right.
This is really, really an effort to protect men, to protect you guys from yourselves.
Yeah.
And your urges.
I rather think you are correct about that.
You better shave it clean.
While I'm talking about things that seem incongruous to me, These are expressions that you hear every day, and maybe I'm just being too stupidly logical about it, but somebody the other day said, "Oh, that was so beautiful. That song brought a tear to my eye." And I said, "Well, where else is the tear going to come from?" And he just stared at me and walked away. And there's the music to my ears is another example. Mm-hmm. Where is else music going to turn, you know, where else are you going to hear it? But your ears. That brings a smile to my face. Where else would the smile be
your
located?
Your butt. You could smile with your butt.
I suppose. A sidelong smile. And then this is the other one. There's others, but this one gets me every time. You know, I was just thinking in my brain.
Yeah.
I was just thinking in my head.
Yeah. I always again, think about
again,
you.
I offer the butt as an alternative.
I always think about you when I hear somebody say, I was thinking in my head. And I wonder if it's something I used to say, and now I'm scared to death to say it because I know you're going to haunt me.
Why don't you just say, I was thinking? Where else are you going to think but your head?
Right.
I know. I'm fighting a losing battle on too many fronts right now.
Well, here's what I wonder if I could make the argument that sometimes you can think out loud. Sometimes you can think in your head. Sometimes you think out loud. But you're not going to buy into
that. Well, your mouth isn't thinking. Your mouth will be the speaker for the stuff in your head.
Good point.
It's the outlet. It's not.
Yeah, you're right again, Pat. You're right.
God, that feels good.
People just pad stuff with stuff. There's a lot of padding going on with when people talk.
Yeah. Here's another thing, Lisa, I'm worried about.
Geez. What?
I was watching a Tarzan movie the other day.
You were?
Yeah, and I think about all the different, as a kid, I think most young men loved Tarzan. They thought that was the coolest.
God,
running around with
dumbest,
basically
dumb show.
No clothes on. But, and then my wife actually brought this up. She said, how come Tarzan doesn't have any body hair? Did he shave it? How did he shave it? He doesn't have a beard, doesn't have mustache, doesn't have any chest hair, nothing on his legs.
Yeah, it's a good
And then
point.
How about Jane? She doesn't have any leg hair. These things, these inconsistencies, these paradoxes worry me, Lisa.
Yeah, I know.
I do need to get help. You remember I was telling you I heard a podcast. It's about this time of year, and they're doing it again. They have an advertiser that is a virtual therapist, a virtual, you know, you can sit and talk like you would to a psychiatrist, psychologist. This is a virtual therapist, so you don't have to undergo the embarrassment of seeing people face to face, scheduling something in an office. It's just in your own home. You get online, maybe it's a Zoom call, and you talk about your problems to a therapist online. But they advertise it this way, this time of year. They say, hey, we're getting near the holiday season, and if you have somebody in your family that you think could maybe use a therapist. And it goes
Hold on, let me get a pen and a paper.
Yeah, this is going to be like a Christmas present. Larry, you're going to love what I got you this year.
Oh, what is it?
You'll find out. I mean, that to me is the weirdest advertising. If you have someone you know that could use a therapist, here's a great gift idea.
I think it's a great gift idea. I've already told you this. I think there's plenty of people who need to have this gift shoved down their throat and then dragged to the therapist. Yes, it's a fantastic idea. What's the problem?
I didn't say there was a problem. I just thought it was an interesting place. And time of year to be offering that as an idea for a gift.
Well, because it's Christmas and, you know, nothing says Christmas like somebody crying.
Yeah.
And so that's probably why.
I was in Costco the other day. No, I wasn't in Costco.
Are you not going to finish your, I was watching a Tarzan movie the other day. Oh, you were just talking about the body hair.
Yeah. Just wondering why doesn't he have any body hair?
Yeah. Okay.
Especially out in the jungle.
There's a
doesn't
new
have
one
an electric
out.
Shaver or shaving cream or anything.
There's a new one coming out, or it came out. Is it Dwayne Johnson's in it? Anyway, they'll never get tired of doing Tarzan remakes, which I don't understand. So maybe somebody will listen to you and make it more authentic with a lot of hair. Like, he should just look like a Sasquatch is what he should do.
Yeah, that's
and
what
so
I
should
think.
Jane. And that's what Jane should
If you're living out in the jungle, far from civilization, what's the practical reason for shaving your body hair? Is it maybe because it's really hot in Africa? Is that why? I think if the more you, he's raised by gorillas, Tarzan was. So why not look more like essentially your foster parents? Look like a gorilla.
I don't know. Oh. And I have a problem with how white their teeth are too. That's the other thing that bugs me in movies, especially when they're period pieces and they're, you know, like in a covered wagon and they've, you know, fought bears and they've, you know, shot people and they're, you know, it's dirty and dusty. And then they smile and they've got these big old bright crest smiles. It's like, wait, what?
And on the other hand, when you see a film that where somebody doesn't have perfect teeth, you think, ooh, look at them. Ooh.
No, but it fits
when they
with
look
the character
like real
better.
People.
No, it fits better with the character when they don't do that.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But people in real life, it just doesn't happen like that. These are people who've had, you know, their teeth whitened or they've gotten implants or whatever. I think half the people you see on TV, those aren't their real teeth.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Well, I think.
All right. So you went to Costco and you always bitch about Costco. What happened this time?
No, it was actually Walmart, if you must know the truth.
Why are you shopping at Walmart?
You know what? Let me defend Walmart.
You should not be shopping at Walmart.
Not?
They are evil.
Why?
Because of their politics. What do you mean, why not?
What is their politics? I don't know. I just know that they're well-priced and they have a lot of items there. I suppose I shouldn't go to Home Depot either or Chick-fil-A or any of those places.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you shouldn't.
I think we talked about something like this the other day. And by the way, thank you for sending me the book. That we on a topic we were talking about a few podcasts ago.
Yeah,
that was very good. Basically, how can you appreciate an artist, be it musical or filmmaker or writer, that has some tawdry stuff in their past or present? Can you still appreciate their art when you know these dark secrets?
They're evil.
Of them?
Yeah, they're evil.
It's a good book.
Yeah, it's a good read if you get a chance, if somebody wants to read it. It's
good. Called Monsters. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't shop at Walmart anymore. They don't take care of their employees. They treat their workers terribly. They don't pay women. They underpay women. They're one of the worst companies in America. So
okay,
that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. I wish I'd talked
to you
earlier.
Are we going to get sued?
All of your Christmas gifts came from Walmart this year.
Are we going to?
I guess I could take them
back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could.
So the only thing reason I'm bringing it up is this. I see this couple coming along, a little on the odd looking side, but that's just an opinion.
What a nice, gentle way of saying they're horrific looking.
The woman is leading the way, and the guy's got the shopping cart behind her, and she stops to look at something, and he runs into her back heels with the shopping cart.
And they knew each other?
Yeah.
They're
together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, ow.
And so, ow, Larry, watch out. Yeah. Ow. That's what you would think. No, it was this. It was like this. Ah! Oh, jeez. God, what did you do? I'm sorry. Oh! I mean, you can hear it through the whole store.
Yeah.
It's like she got in a car wreck. It was just so out of line, so over the top that it made me start laughing. Then they saw me laughing, and then I think her pain even increased farther than that. End of story.
Everybody hurts sometimes.
These are just incidents. They're not complete stories with beginning, middle, and ends.
Yeah.
I'm working on an end for that story. I'll let you know. I think it will result in murder. That's the only hint I'm going to give you on that story coming up.
All right.
I think about time to bring this cow into the barn.
Yes,
and
sir.
And so we shall.
All righty.
All right. There's a magician. He's working a cruise ship. Yeah. It's not a big cruise ship. It's a small one. He's been doing his routines every night for 2 years now. The audiences really like him, and they change over often enough that he doesn't have to worry about new tricks, because the audience is always changing on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
However, there is a parrot who sits in the back row and watches him night after night. And finally, the parrot figures out how all the tricks work, and he starts giving it away for the audience.
Oh!
For example, when the magician makes a bouquet of flowers disappear, the parrot says, "Ah, behind his back! It's behind his back!" Well, the magician gets really annoyed and says, "Would you stop giving away all
this?" Hey, can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
That is a really good parrot voice. I don't think I've ever heard you do a parrot voice before. That's really good.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I actually went to school for it. The magician gets very annoyed with this parrot, as you would expect. The parrot belongs to the captain, so he can't just kill the parrot. He'd be killing his livelihood. So one day, this cruise ship springs a leak, and it sinks. The magician manages to swim to a plank of wood floating by, and he grabs on, and he's just hanging on, and lo and behold, guess who's sitting on the other end of the plank? The parrot.
I would not guess that. That was not my first guess.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it is surprising. They just stare at each other for a long, long time. They drift and they drift. They drift for 3 days. They still don't speak. And on the morning of the fourth day, the parrot looks over at the magician and says, "Okay, I give up. Where did you hide the ship?"
Okay, the best part of that joke was your parrot voice.
Thank you very much.
I keep hearing you're concerned about my happiness, but all that thought you're giving me is conscience, I guess. If I were walking in your shoes, I wouldn't worry enough. Are you and your friends are worried about me? I'm having lots of fun. Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. Last night I dressed in tails, pretended I was on the tank.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.